Enterprise Influencers, perspectives from technology leaders.
Hello and welcome to Enterprise Influencers, the podcast that talks to enterprise leadership in IT and their thoughts about current goings-ons and things. Patrick, who do we have today?
Hey, Giles. Welcome. Happy to have everybody here today. Thanks for listening. Today, we have our good friend, Lee Reed, who we've both had the pleasure of working with in the past. Actually, myself with at multiple companies with Lee. I guess we get around a little bit, right, Lee?
That's right.
But Lee is an enterprise product manager working with Microsoft Technologies for a very large and familiar company to all of us. He also is an ardent tech evangelist and someone who really likes to communicate about technology. And especially, I think, the user impacts of technology for how to get things done, collaborate better, and do all these great things. And we're particularly interested in talking with Lee today about the concept of how to amplify your personal brand and what a personal brand even means and how that relates to the things that we do within an organization. Welcome, Lee. I gave you an introduction there, but please feel free to fill in some of the blanks about yourself and just tell the audience a little bit about who you are.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity to share what I've been doing. I'm very focused in the technology space and been doing that my entire career, from consulting through internal IT, enterprise IT, SMB space. So always been focused on unpacking the power of technology. At first, I started implementing technology and making sure that it was running well. But now I'm really focused on the usage of technology to enhance yourself, and both from a productivity standpoint, but also more recently anyway, the personal branding efforts. I really strongly feel that you need to tell people what you're doing. You need to educate people on what your skills are and what your capabilities are, especially if you're interested in promoting yourself within a company or promoting a skill that you have to find new opportunities. So that's where I've been spending a lot of my time lately.
Awesome. Awesome. And that's a topic that's near and dear to our hearts as well. That's one of the reasons that Giles and I started this podcast, in fact, is we wanted to begin to promote our brand, and we felt like maybe we had something to say, sometimes maybe too much to say, but wanted to get something creative out into the world. So I guess just leaning into the topic of a personal brand, let's talk a little bit about what that means to us. So why should we be thinking about our personal brand and how that relates to our day-to-day work and maybe even like internally versus externally?
Yeah, it's a good topic. So a lot of people think that a personal brand is something that I'm going to be talking about myself. I'm not comfortable talking about myself. People aren't interested in what I have to say or what I have to share. And I think one of the things that I really came to the realization of is that when you have experiences in life and in business and experiences doing something that you're really passionate about, you have something to say that is a unique perspective. No one has the same experiences that you do. And so just sharing your message, it may duplicate messages that are already out there that people are sharing, but just share it anyway. Put yourself out there. Try to educate people on who you are and what you do. And it's, people are interested in that. People are either attracted to that and what the message is that you're sharing, or they're not attracted to it. But you leave it to them to decide, rather than you saying, I'm nervous about sharing information about myself or about what I have to do. The idea of personal branding is, Jeff Bezos is quoted as saying, your brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room. So what are people talking about? People are going to say what they're going to say about you, regardless of whether you're doing a branding effort or not. So what you want people to do is to share the narrative that you have about yourself, to share a coherent message about yourself. And so you do that by steering yourself and steering your brand towards what you want to be known for. If you've always been known as the person that can do X, but now you're changing to, I want to be known as the person who can do Y, it's going to take an effort on your part. It doesn't just happen. So that's something, that's one of the reasons that I do what I do now is, you know what, I'm not probably saying anything new or probably sharing anything new, but it's my viewpoint and my focus, and it resonates with people, or it doesn't. That's just fine.
Yeah, and you make some good points there, especially I know there's a part of my career where, you know, and maybe even to still to some extent where maybe I was pigeonholed as, oh, he like Patrick, he's the SharePoint guy. And hey, I have other things to offer. But yeah. And I, like, I'm sure my parents said something to the effect of, if you don't toot your own horn, like nobody's going to really toot it for you. That's- you got to get out there with what you want people to know about you. No, great, great. Yeah, so let's talk a little bit then about what that looks like. And I guess, well, actually, like, just to back up a bit, one of the things you mentioned is maybe getting out of that pigeonhole kind of scenario or looking for other opportunities. So can you talk a little bit about what maybe you hope to accomplish by, like, the focus on a personal brand?
Yeah.
So and I'll just add to that. What have you managed to achieve as well from doing it would be a good perspective as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that I was doing was I started making video, mostly screencasting and just sharing knowledge on how to do something, maybe in a piece of software. Then I decided, and you asked the question earlier, Patrick, about internal versus external sharing and brand building, right? And there's a difference. There is a difference between the two that I see. So externally, you can say whatever you want to, whenever you want to, however you want to. And it's, you have a lot of freedom in that. And internally, you have policies that you need to follow that are your company policies, right? You don't socialize this idea or don't say these things to your team because they might take it the wrong way, or we're going to be purchased as a company or something. So you don't share out things that you would maybe externally if you had that desire. You never call out a coworker in a posting where maybe you do that, or you say, this company is driving me crazy that I'm dealing with, or my vendor. You never do that internally. You don't call anybody out, and at least in my view. You never post anything that your manager or your senior leadership might find controversial. Right. So when you're posting internally, you have to think about these things and kind of govern what you say. And it's really important that you do that. Otherwise, you're going to be told you need to stop what you're doing. You need to stop socializing it, or your brand will suffer. It takes a long time to build a brand, as you guys know. It takes moments to trash it with something that you do. So you need to make sure that you are very keyed in on what is your goal. What are you trying to accomplish? And Giles, you asked about what I maybe have accomplished with building a brand. So one of the things I did was, as I mentioned, I've been creating video and doing things like that since about 2007. I was working in mostly in software and sharing software ideas. So I was doing a lot of screencasting. I was not on video. So I decided one of my challenges to myself that I put forward was, I want to appear on video and get comfortable being on video on camera, sharing my face, sharing gestures, whatever it is. So I decided to start posting things internally to my company that is socializing a message or socializing software, little tips and tricks that I found. And I said, my goal is, and my ultimate goal was to be on camera sharing myself next to the video of the software. So I started to do that. And I really found that people gravitated toward it. And so the success that I found was I started sharing a lot of video. We had a new video platform within my company that I was starting to leverage and use. Those things, my video creation, as well as the video platform, dovetailed into, let me share out things here. So I started sharing things out on the video platform. It got to be seen. People said, hey, this guy's really using the software in a unique way. I was recognized by my most senior leadership in the organization in my department saying, hey, this guy knows about what's going on out there. He can participate in a interview that the vendor of the video software, Microsoft, was putting out there in the world. So it was a success story about how we implemented and used the platform. So I got to share my ideas on the vendor's success story and highlight both the vendor's capabilities of the software as well as my own company. And I think that was a real success story because I was recognized for that.
So, and I can relate to that because, so I've been blogging and all kinds of stuff since 2008 in some form, eventually turned it to video, mostly internally, admittedly. But I ended up becoming a conference speaker because I ended up blogging on Project Server and other things as well. And some of the projects I did won some Microsoft Partner Awards back in the UK. And then eventually the people from the product team got to know me as a result, sometimes correcting some of the things I said, sometimes they didn't, sometimes they agreed, sometimes they commented, right? But all of this stuff, it creates the dialogue and the connection. And then they asked me that thing that won awards and stuff like that on their partner thing. They asked me to go out on the road when before Ignite was a thing, it was what, TechEd, and it was other kind of project conference and SharePoint conference. And then suddenly you're there and then you're making other connections as well. So it's,
that's right. Yeah.
It all starts with that seed and it starts with the personal brand and everything else. And again, I wasn't talking about myself. I was pushing out the same as you, right? Tips and tricks and things that I'd found that are useful. And really my goal was to be able to document things as I go along so that I don't forget it and neither do my team members.
That right.
But I might as well put it publicly. And then I had a sub goal of, hey, I know I'm going to emigrate to the US and no one in the US knows who I am. So this is a way if someone Googled me, they would know who I am and what I'm about. Totally works. Yeah. I'm now in the US. I've had jobs, successful jobs. I've never been fired. All of that kind of stuff, right? But when I go into interviews, like people know if they're of that kind of ilk, and they research before you come in, often people are start asking me questions about things that I have done. And I curate what I do out there so that I know there's nothing embarrassing, hopefully, about me. And I've curated that content so it's out there, right?
Yep.
So yeah. Well, if they're going to ask me about it, then I know what I'm going to say. So.
Yeah, and it's a good point, actually, both of you make, right, is that I think nobody's going to tap you on your shoulder and say, hey, can you come do this if they don't know who you are? So if you're a name in a spreadsheet or in an org chart versus, hey, you're the guy that shared that video that helped me with that problem I was having, that becomes a whole different conversation. And maybe it's, what do you know about this? Or have you thought about these other things? Or do you want to work on this new project that we're thinking about doing that's going to impact the whole world or something like that? If they don't know who you are, you're not necessarily going to get the opportunity to do what might be the next thing.
Right.
And I think what comes across as well when you do this kind of stuff, especially if you're doing video, is you can give someone their resume, your resume, and they'll tell you what the skill set was done, what projects you've done, how articulate you are at writing. But it does not come across just like a text message, and doesn't come across as tone and how you come across, what kind of person you are in terms of the style you communicate and things like that. And that's an important thing now in companies, right? There's lots of people that know Microsoft technologies, but are you the right temperament to fit into the team? How do you convey that with some text? You can't. That's why people do interviews. But if you're on video and people can see that before you even on the interview, then they probably already have a positive opinion when they're inviting you to come speak to you directly. So that's what I have found over the years that I've been doing this kind of stuff. That's certainly one of the reasons why I do this podcast as well. So that, again, I have essentially a fairly regular footprint.
We're still who I am and what I'm doing. We're still waiting for our tens of listeners to back up the dump truck full of cash. So, you know, that opportunity still exists for those of you out there.
We get that PayPal, Venmo. I will take cash in an envelope, actually. It's fine.
Yeah. I did want to transition a little bit to maybe talking tactically about how we do some of this stuff. And so what part of your personal branding, Lee, is you started a YouTube channel, and folks out there, we'll link to the channel in the show notes, but you can go on YouTube, search Lee Reed, LEREED, real easy. And you'll find Lee's channel. And he's got some great videos out there. But I think some pretty unique perspectives about generating content, how to generate content, using AI to assist in generating the content, and using a lot of Microsoft technologies, obviously, because we work in a Microsoft-centric environment, but not everything's related to Microsoft. But maybe talk, Lee, a little bit about like some of the techniques and some of the things that you talk about in your YouTube series about amplifying your personal brand, because I think there are some really good nuggets in that.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. First of all, it's sharing out on video, sharing yourself on video is very common. We're all three of us are sitting in our homes on a video cam, having a video call. So people are not as, they don't critique you as much when you're on video. So that's one thing that I think is working really well in favor of producing content where you are on video. The second thing is artificial intelligence or AI really makes it easy to start or to provide a seed of information on what content you might create. So you might form an opinion about a particular technology or maybe its use, and you say, let me explore that a little bit. So you put it into an AI engine and you say, put your prompt in, write a prompt that is, maybe it's just the same prompt every time and you just change one variable in it, which is the name of the product or an approach or a social issue that's happening in the world, or maybe your industry, right? So look for a unique perspective on the industry. And I was taught a long time ago when I was blogging, write what you think about, write what you know, and then eliminate all of that and write the thing that doesn't duplicate what you just wrote about. And what I mean by that is the uniqueness of your message is somewhere in the area where other people are not writing what you have already said or what you know. So generating that uniqueness, that unique perspective is super important for people to focus on. My YouTube channel was after a year of posting internally at my company, which I still do, I decided I'm going to try a YouTube channel and see if I can share this more broadly. People at my company encouraged me to do that. And so that was something that I decided to do. And I'm using the Microsoft platform of Microsoft 365, which we already have in our organization, as well as many of you already have in your organizations. So I decided, if people already have access to the Microsoft platform and they have a desire to do this, maybe there's a melding of those two things together. And the Microsoft platform, I took a lens on it and said, what is out there that looks like a social platform that's already on the internet? Video sharing, a platform for sharing those videos and applying maybe permissions to them and sharing them with just your department, your leadership, or with your division or country, people in your country. What can you do to use those tools to mimic what's on the internet? Because I want to focus internally. I'm not ready to be on YouTube right now. My videos out there, I have a 5-part series on amplifying your personal brand, saying use a platform where you store your content, make things available for download. People love infographics, love short snippets, love video. It's very engaging. They love demonstrations. I started using AI as it's become more popular now and as it is increasingly popular to generate seeds of ideas and to explore those ideas and ask questions back and forth. And usually there's something AI is presenting that is, wow, okay, this, I never considered it from this angle before. So I expand on that and manipulate it to see what I can do with it. Yeah. It's really easy to create content, to record and video content, to make a podcast or to share content. There's really nothing stopping you from doing that internally or externally.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think one of the things that, like, I know in the past, pre-AI and probably even still to some extent today, it was always about, how do I come up with a great idea? Right. You know, I always thought, I felt like I needed to have a really unique, like, great idea. And just watching some of the videos you produced, it's like using AI to help ideate and come up with some options and even come up with a catchy title or a funny title, right? And or the art that goes along with the article or the infographic. Like, those are really unique things. Like, you don't need to be a talented graphic artist today to produce a really high quality logo, for example, or to process an image so you can have your picture next to the content on the slide or things like that. It's almost like a democratization of some of the branding that you would have needed to have a team building stuff out. But you can now do that pretty easily and pretty quickly with some tools that are, frankly, free and available openly on the internet.
Right.
I mean, let's face it, the tools that we use for this podcast, basically free for the most part. It's, you know, it's PowerPoint, it's
Teams, provided by our company.
But you know what? Like, Teams is available. You can do this recording with personal Teams, right? It comes with Windows. So it's
absolutely
all that could be done. You can use PowerPoint online.
Actually, free if you've got a Microsoft account. Both AI generated bots, Giles. So this is all driven by AI.
I'm not actually real. I'm a robot.
Yeah. I mean, you don't think that British accent is real, do you?
No, so, I'm German.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, yes. So it's amazing what you can do for free. Spotify do not charge for their distribution of podcasting rights. You just have to produce a video, you upload it, and they'll distribute it for you. Same with YouTube, right? They don't charge you for this stuff. You just, and like you said, Lee, you're in control of the quality, right? And you can improve that quality over time as you learn more. And people get engaged by that. The whole YouTube revolution over the last couple of decades at this point is user-generated content. And now it's not a small amount of time where most people watch YouTube, TikTok, whatever your social thing of choice is, right? Yeah. It takes up a lot of people's time nowadays because people are interested in people's opinions about stuff. Sure.
And that's that. What you said, Patrick, is really true. The democratization of the creation, right? Mm-hmm. The creation is super hard. That's really difficult. Creating a video, a blog post, of authoring an ebook, those kind of things are challenging. But as the creation of the visuals, as the creation of the video, and even the translation, you can upload a video to certain websites on the internet and it translates your voice into different languages. As that becomes easier, it's really the idea, the genesis of the seed that you're sharing, it becomes really important. And that uniqueness that you have, that you can share with the world or share within your organization, that's where the nugget is really going to be focused on. What you don't want to do is create AI content, copy paste, put it out there. You need to put a unique spin on it. And
100%. Yeah,
that specialization of knowledge is really what you bring to the table. I think that's really important.
Part of the trick is, because you hit it on the head right there, is, and I didn't mean to imply that like content creation is easy. Content creation is extremely difficult.
Yeah.
Because anybody can create content, but not everybody can create high quality content that is going to be interesting and useful to people. And that's, I think, finding that niche, and you're focusing on it from a, how do I use Microsoft tools to impact these things which are going to be beneficial to me, beneficial to my organization, and get my name out there, my brand out there. So quality content is still extremely important. But for those that are going to be focused on creating quality content, I think the tools are now at a place where they are really assistive in being able to do that at a really high level, I guess, is where I was.
Yeah, that's not the barrier anymore, right?
Yeah, it's not the barrier. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And yeah, so it's really interesting. Talk a little bit, because you mentioned like social platforms, and assume you're talking about Viva Engage, or formerly known as Yammer. You've got the Microsoft Stream platform for videos and things like Clipchamp and video editing software. I know you use a lot of PowerPoint, even in voice over PowerPoint or video over PowerPoint in some of your demos and things like that. But I'm curious, because for me, like the social platforms, there's obviously consumer social platforms like Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and all these sort of newer platforms even. But the social platforms inside of the organization, right? Can you talk a little bit about the reach that has, that you've experienced with posting on those types of platform?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. So one of the things that I did is, Microsoft Stream, for example, when I publish a video on that, there's very, I'm going to say, lackluster analytics that comes with that. I can't really measure That's things kind. Super easily. Yeah. But so one of the things that I started doing is I figured out a way of posting on the specifically the Stream platform where I can see who's watching my video. I can tell when they are engaged, and the analytics have gotten a little bit better over time, and I'm sure they'll be increased over time as well. But you can sense, what are people watching and how many people are watching and what was the response rate? I think YouTube, as I'm going through right now, I'm still, my channel is still fairly new and I'm still learning a lot about that. But one of the things interesting about YouTube is it says if you have a 50% retention rate within the first 30 seconds, if you can maintain a viewership within the first 30 seconds, that's a great retention rate. Over time, it's always going to peter off as people look and see your style and this content is not for me, or maybe I'm interested in it. But on the Stream platform, for example, you can see that pretty easily. Internally, that's another difference between internal and external, as we were talking about earlier. I try to go short form, but as you can probably tell from my brain is suited for podcasting because I have long, expansive answers on things that I can't easily summarize into bullet points. I'm just not built that way. But YouTube has this, they just released stats where it's like this peak and valley right in the middle of about 11-minute long videos. It's either shorter than that, between the 8 and the 10-minute mark is a good length. If you go 11 to 14 minutes, you're going to lose a ton of viewership.
Yeah.
And then 14 to 17 is another peak. So people either stick with it and learn what you're talking about or they don't. And so it's hard to know what's the right length, right? You can either summarize like a TikTok or you can be expansive like a training session, but you just have to get a sense and feel of what's out there and what people are watching, what they are attracted to and what they're not. Within the internal posting, you really have to do a lot of divining rod type things to say, this video was popular. I've got a lot of thumbs up or some hearts on this as a response within Viva Engage. Those are the kind of things that you have to put your own metrics together and do an additive summarization of, this is what my response rate is. I'll do more of that or avoid this. The important point is that I always say, I even say this to my daughter quite frequently, perfect or perfection is the enemy of good enough, right? Make something that's good enough to put out there, try things, try it on for size and see what sticks.
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I would add to that, that I think it's very key when you're doing this kind of stuff for your own personal brand to make sure that your goal is not related to the popularity of what you put out there.
Right.
Because it's not about, I don't actively massively promote this podcast wider than what we do today. And it's not because I'm trying to get personally famous. We don't monetize this podcast or anything because it's not about making money. It's not about anything else. The goal for me, and maybe it's different for Patrick, is to just...
We're not opposed to making money, by the way.
Again, if you want to give us money, we'll take it. We'll enjoy it. You can buy some merch. It's available there. There's a mug. There's a sticker. There's all this kind of stuff. But the point being is that I get out of it is that I have a foothold in the industry that's fairly constant, fairly regular, that people know what I'm on and what I'm about, roughly, right? I'm in an industry right now that's quite secretive. I can't talk about a lot of the stuff that I do. That's a choice I'm making for various reasons, but that doesn't mean that I'm not learning stuff that's available for many. So although I can't talk publicly about a lot of the stuff I'm doing, I can talk about the subject matters that I'm learning about, including AI, Copilot, whatever, right? Because at some point, I probably will want to change job, or at some point, I will want to change my career or something like that. This tracks my journey in that regard, right? So that's unrelated to how many people view this video.
I did want to mention, too, one of the things that we say over and over is amplifying your brand, your personal brand, having a personal brand. And so the natural evolution of that question that precedes all of that is, how do I determine what my brand is? What am I about? How do I figure that out? And so that's something, it takes a lot of work to do that and to reflect and to internalize what you want your brand to be. As I mentioned, your brand is what people say about you when you leave the room. So that's the first place to start within your organization. Go to people that you trust and say, hey, I need to have a personal conversation with you. Will you give me honest feedback? What am I known for? What can I do better? What am I not known for? And if you're desiring to do artificial intelligence and they never say the letters AI, you're in trouble. You have some work to do. So one of the things you can do to start to define your brand is, it's very simple, and people have probably heard of this, the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator Assessment. So this is a test you can take. They're available online. You can pay a fee and take it online, and it tells you, this is the ENTJ, the ISTP, the four-letter acronym for what type of personality you have. Some people may say, I don't have the time, the money, I can't invest in that. That seems silly. So what I did yesterday to confirm my thought was I went to an artificial intelligence engine. In this case, I went to Copilot for Microsoft, and I said, hey, I want to do my prompt was, you're a human talent professional that's able to ask questions of a person that will help them to determine their Myers-Briggs personality type. Interview me right now using those questions to help me determine what my personality type is. So you're learning about yourself, you're educating yourself about yourself. And you say, you ask Copilot, and I interacted with Copilot, and it told me, this is what I think you are. And it nailed it, because I take this assessment every few years. It's good for, I think the average is about 5 years is what your Myers-Briggs type indicator is good for. And it tells you where you're anchored. It doesn't define you. That's what's really important to know. It doesn't define you, but it tells you what you value, what you anchor, how you work possibly. But the next thing Copilot did is, hey, there's a website out there that's called 16personalities.com. I have no affiliation with that website. I don't have any codes or anything, but not sponsored content. But 16personalities.com, you can go there and take a free assessment that is similar to, not the Myers-Briggs, but it's similar to, freely available. Go out there and try it. Learn about yourself and that's the anchor of who you are and maybe what your brand could be. Second, so that's the first step. Second step is getting some deep introspection. There's tons of material online, as you would imagine. A personal brand look like. It really is, what do you value? What do you want to be known for? Or what do you want to pivot to that you're not known for today, but you want to be known for tomorrow? State that in a very obvious way. What is your goal with that personal brand? And then pursue it. No one's born with a personal brand. This accumulates over time, and it's additive of all of our experiences. But that personal branding, that internalization of, who am I? What do I value? What do I want to do? Whether you're for social good, or whether you're for educating people about a certain thing, or you have a desire to be a high school history teacher, or whatever the case is, state your brand that's what you want to be known for, and then follow that and reiterate that every time you have an interaction.
What I like about that, Lee, is that it's not a passive thing. It's a very proactive thing. And I think that you bring up a good point in that you need to know a bit about yourself and what your goals are in venturing into a personal brand. What are you trying to communicate to people? What is the ethos of your message? And that should come through in your brand, but also in the content that you produce and the things that you're doing. And if people if they can't identify with that, then the opportunities may not come. Like you said, if you're not known for AI, but you want to work in AI, you can't passively sit and wait for that opportunity to come along. You need to be upskilling yourself, identifying opportunities, using the technologies to move yourself forward in that respect and become known for the things that you want to be known for. And so that proactive nature of doing the introspection and then doing the work to present yourself in that way, I think is a really important takeaway for anybody that wants to improve their personal branding.
Yeah. And also defining, it's important to define what you are. It's just as important to define what you're not, right? I'm never going to be a TikTok star. I don't aspire to that.
You don't
want to
do some dances or?
Yeah, that's not me. I do that in my personal time. But that's the kind of thing. What am I not trying to communicate with this brand? And what am I trying to communicate? I do the branding for my thumbnails for my YouTube channel. And I do that. And that comes up with crazy stuff. Some of it looks really mean, like really angry. And that's not part of my brand. My brand is sharing and helping and things like that. And that's really important that you stay on brand. Is this something I want to promote or is it not? And you really need to stick with that because people will know you for these three things or five things, and they will associate that with you. And like you said, eventually, Giles, they might say, wait a second, I saw this guy on YouTube or this woman that was talking about financial literacy or whatever the case is related to this age group. I'm going to reach out to them and see if they want to come here and start our new department or focus. You really need to, play the same string on the guitar while you can use that same note in many different songs. And it's part of the song, but you want to play the same note over and over so that you drive that branding home.
And I would also say it is key. And I've been doing a bit of an experiment while we've been typing my hair at the moment. And something that kind of came across in my mind is that AI today is the ingestion of articles and everything across the internet. And of course, you're putting this stuff out on the internet. So at some point in the future, and you can shoot me down as this as an idea, you're going to be asking AI about this person. So I have now just suddenly asked about all three of us on here. Patrick, you've got some work to do on my own. They still think you're a Rise product manager, am I?
It's not surprising. Yeah.
But Lee and me, spot on. Exactly what we've been talking about and everything as well. So you go and ask Copilot about the person. Now, I do this anyway. Like if I'm interviewing someone, I will Google them to find out what they're about. And if I find nothing about them, that makes a statement to me. Not necessarily positive or negative. It's just, it tells me where they're at to a degree, right? Whereas if, and I have been in it, I can say that with all the social stuff I've done over the last 15 years or so, there has not been an interview since I have started where this has not come up in some form, because people do their research. They do look at this stuff before you come in. And that is the first impression. But in that scenario, I have controlled that narrative, right? The initial impression is what's on the paper. They do a quick Google. Now they've got a different impression, but that's the first impression that they've seen you visually. And then they see you in person. But at that point, they've already got an opinion about you before you even walk in the room. And I've been able to control that more than just a resume. It's been valuable. So for sure, super important.
So I know we're coming up, I think, to the end of our time here fairly soon. But Lee, I'm wondering if you could just maybe share one or two examples of just impact that you feel like your efforts have had. I know you shared a little bit earlier, but whether it's like, hey, I had this user that was super grateful for the video I produced because it helped them through a problem, or it got me a big fat raise and a promotion. Like maybe, you know, what's your personal experience with this?
So
with this journey, I should say.
Yeah, and it's continuing and it's expanding, actually. So one of the first things that happened was I posted maybe three videos on YouTube, and I post them on YouTube. I let, you know, I don't have a big following. I'm trying to grow that over time. But I share it then on LinkedIn. So it becomes part of my profile on LinkedIn, right? So now my professional matches what is publicly out there. A fraternity brother of mine, several years ago, some time ago now, he's a college professor. He reached out to me and he said, hey, I'm trying to teach. He teaches in the business college at a university. And he said, hey, I'm trying to educate my students about going into the world and becoming known and becoming successful careers, et cetera. And I noticed you're posting stuff about AI and what are you doing and what's the ideas that you have? And so I started writing content around that and saying, here's some ideas. And he and I are working now on some ideas about how do we further the idea of using artificial intelligence to help students launch successfully out of college, out of this business school. First, they need to know about it, which it's not, you would think it's a foregone conclusion that these men and women in college now would just know about this. They would just intuit it, or by osmosis, they have AI knowledge. It's not the case. They actually are pushing back on it somewhat. That'll become, over time, that'll become much more accepted as, of course I know AI, it's no big deal. Like, I can use a cell phone too. So he and I are going to work on content together to educate business students on using AI successfully, both as you launch into the world from college, as well as afterward. He put me in contact with people that he has networked with, that a guy that is, he owns his own firm, his own company. And he said, hey, I've got some questions about AI. I don't know much about it. Do you think it applies to my industry? So I had a, whatever, hour-long conversation with the guy. This is not consultative time or charging for it. It's just sharing knowledge and information. And other people have reached out to me and said, hey, who are you and what are you doing out there? And this is interesting. I'm interested in what your ideas are on this. And that's, it has started to broaden my experiences, which is really interesting to get into.
Go ahead, Giles.
I was going to say, and the key thing here is it's really hard to quantify the advantage. I can't tell you how much I've earned from my activities. I can't tell you that this definitely happened because of this. But what you said there, everything I have done has broadened my experience, has made more connections, which has then allowed me to continue my career in a direction that I am controlling. And more to the point, it has presented me opportunities that I didn't necessarily know that I even wanted to do, but then I became interested in it because of those, that the output that I'm putting out there, right? So it's you can't quantify it, but I can tell you that everything that I've done and everything that I see you doing, Lee, it's overwhelmingly positive one way or the other.
I worried at first about putting my, I put yourself out there. I'm using air quotes for that to say, I'm worried about putting myself out there, becoming known, or people taking advantage or giving me negative feedback. 100% of my experiences has been positive. Now, I've been doing this for a little while now, both internally for more than a year and then externally as well for a shorter period of time. But it's been overwhelmingly positive. People that we see the negativity on the internet, or people excoriating you for something that you've said or an idea that you have, that is not my experience at all. People have come to me and said, that's interesting, or can you expand on that? And I think that's the benefit of this, is personal branding gives you the ability to have a social capital, the ability to have a relationship to grow within your community or your company. And it really gives you, for me, I'm a creative person. I also do technology and computers, and I have degrees in computer technology and management of technology. I'm very much that world of technology and managing and all of that. But I need an outlet for my creativity. And that's what this branding effort allows me to do, is it gives me that outlet to be creative and to exercise that muscle, if you will.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And let's face it, a lot of that negativity that you do see on the internet is because people put out very divisive stuff about politics or their opinions about things that affect other people's lives, right? This is putting out your opinion about a technology. There's not, right? The most negative thing you're going to get is, I disagree with your opinion about that. But then they'll probably say why, and then that becomes constructive criticism, which is then ultimately a positive thing for everybody to learn from anyway. Because they might then put out a point that, oh, I didn't think of it like that. Or they put out a point, you disagree, and then you're starting the dialogue, and then you're making a connection. Again, as long as you stick to the topics that we're talking about now, there's very little to be negative about.
Low risk, high reward.
Yes, it's exactly what it is, right? It's because, you know, people can disagree, and that's okay as well.
Absolutely. Just to wrap things up, Lee, I just want to ask a question around, let's say, for the person that hasn't started on their journey, like, What's your recommendation for what's the first step you should take? Like, we're step one, do what?
Yeah, great question. So I think step one is everybody should have a resume, more than likely, that's out there in the world. Take your resume, really simply put it into AI and say, tell me 5 bullet points about this resume. And if the bullet points that come back are not what you are interested in doing, something's reflecting incorrectly on your resume, right? That's very simple. Do the same with your LinkedIn profile, maybe, or whatnot. Or you can say, this is what I want to drive myself towards. And you find people with that job title on LinkedIn, or you find people that are posting that type of stuff on YouTube or in a blog, and you say, what does this person know about themselves that I don't know about myself? And I want to be more similar to them than I am where I'm coming from, or the skill set or the career that I've had. Look and mimic some of what they're doing. For me personally, I've taken another assessment about on myself, the StrengthsFinder assessment from Clifton. StrengthsFinder 2.0 is what it's called. Maybe it's at 3.0 by now. Really good little summarization of, what strengths do you have, and expand on those. Don't focus on what you don't have. If you don't have financial literacy and spreadsheet knowledge and budgeting, and you say that's an area that I need more knowledge on, but I've got all of these other things in spades, focus on the things you have in spades. That's your brand. That's what you should try to emphasize and do. Analyze yourself. It does take some internalization of, what do I know about myself and what do I do? For me, really simply, I kept a spreadsheet for several years. Here's the knowledge I have about myself. Here's what I like. Here's what I don't like. I took all of that. I put it into a word cloud. And I said, what are the biggest words in this word cloud? And I came out with that with, wow, that's interesting. Okay, that's pretty much on brand for me. That's where I think I am. But what are some of the medium level words that I can now emphasize and try to emphasize in a brand? So that's some really actionable, what can I do? Look at, find somebody doing what you're interested in and mimic what they're already doing.
Very cool. And then coming to the favorite part of the podcast for all of our guests, I think we're in season 2 now, but we're going to continue our fun fact finding mission with our guest. Lee, all of our guests like to share a fun fact about themselves. It can be anything, but it must be interesting. Lee Reed, what is your fun fact?
Gosh, I'm not much fun and I don't like facts.
That's fascinating.
That's a successful career in consulting.
Sweet.
So I think the interesting thing, one of the things about me in the past is when people that see me now that knew me way back when would see somewhat of a different person. So when I was in my younger years, I actually went to college on a music scholarship, and people anticipated that I would be a professional musician. And I did that. I did studio recordings for a little bit just as a kind of a side gig. But I decided at some point, I don't know that music is my future. It's great if that's for some people. It wasn't going to be for me because I had different aspirations. So I was the only person in my college that had a music scholarship helping me to pay for school that was a computer science major. And those two things usually don't really dovetail with one another. But if you really expand on technology people, you do find there's always that creative bend to technology people. They're flexible, they try new things, they're not afraid to expand or interrogate or investigate things. So I call it, I do more jazz than classical music. Classical, you got to follow the sheet music all the time because Mozart or Bach recorded that and wrote that eons ago, hundreds of years ago. Technology today requires this really fast moving, fast paced, let me try some new things. And that's more jazz to me. So I'm more jazz than classical. So that's my fun fact. I was a music scholarship awarded person, but focused on computer science.
Skibbity-doo-wop.
That's right. Jazzy Lee.
I love it, man. You can find Lee Reed on LinkedIn. You can find him on YouTube. Please let's get his subscribers up, at least into the hundreds and hopefully thousands. I think you're going to have to do a few more podcasts than ours to maybe achieve that, Lee. But we really appreciate you just coming and sharing your insights. It's been a really great conversation. We really appreciate it. And I guess with that, Giles, you want to take us out?
Yeah, Lee, thanks for joining us. It's been
thanks so much, guys.
I think insightful would be the word that I Absolutely. Use. And I hope people take advantage of all the advice and maybe just don't feel scared to get out there, right? So, right. Yeah, you can find us on YouTube. You can find us on Spotify and all your favorite podcasting haunts, Apple, Google, whatever. There will be a post on our site about this. You can buy merch about us if you really want. And we look forward to our next episode. So thank you very much, everybody.